And last case for argument, United States v. Starks. Mr. Kavanaugh.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The issue in the case can best be understood, in my opinion, if you recognize the fact that the indictment that Mr. Starks went to trial under was the fourth time he had been indicted by the government. The government could have cured the problems we have in this case by simply superseding the instant indictment. They could have charged in count two that Mr. Starks obstructed justice by fighting with a special agent following the commands of Anderson and Aguilar, and this is exactly how the fight obstructed the investigation. They could have added count three. The government could have said, by attempting to tear up the affidavit, Mr. Starks obstructed justice, and this is how...
Is that what he did? It was obscure. What exactly happened? What happened?
He was in an interview room being interviewed by two OIG agents. They had been talking back and forth for quite some time. Been in there for about 2 or 3 hours, I believe. He told them his story. They said, you're a liar. We'll give you a chance to fix it. He began writing out his affidavit, and when he got to a certain part, he refused to continue. Then the agent took the affidavit, and then she started writing it out, gave it back to him for his signature. He looked at it, and he says, I can't sign this. It's too incriminating. He took the affidavit and placed it between his legs like this. He was sitting in a chair. She jumped up, reached over to try to retrieve the affidavit. He pushed her back, and then he went onto the floor, and he began to try to tear it up. And I think he even put some pieces in his mouth. A bunch of other officers came in and subdued him. They retrieved the affidavit. Now, it is our contention, had they pled this act in three different counts, the issues of multiplicity and duplicity would have been cured.
But the judge gave pretty good jury instructions here on unanimity requirement, on whether they were focusing on the affidavit or the struggle in count two.
That's true, Your Honor, but the prejudice goes beyond simply the instruction. At the pretrial hearing phase of this matter, defense counsel remarked to the court at that time that this is an attempt to try to obtain a compromise verdict. And there's a very telling exchange in the cross-examination of one of the agents. It's in volume 3 of the trial transcript on page 141.
Yes, your client might be better off with a compromise verdict.
There wasn't a mark on her, Your Honor. They overcharged the case on the assault issue. There was a physician's assistant report.
When you say a compromise verdict, you mean some jurors wanted more. So it's always a risk to a defendant if he doesn't get a compromise verdict.
If he only went to trial on count one here, that was the only issue for the jury, he might have been convicted on that one.
Your Honor, I don't believe the evidence supported a verdict against count one. And one of the interesting things...
I could see you also arguing if they would have split up count two and count three, you'd argue they're overcharging them there, and that even encourages more of a compromise verdict. The more counts you have.
It really depends on how they might have pled it, but I can't deny that that might have been a position the defendant may have taken.
Why do you say there wasn't enough evidence for count one? The way your description of what happened suggests, yes, an assault, actual physical contact, while she was engaged in her official duties.
There certainly seems to be, based upon all the evidence in the case, an element of provocation by the agent.
Oh, provocation is not a defense to an assault, right?
Yes, Your Honor, it's not.
Right.
But I think that the significant thing was there wasn't a mark on the agent.
You don't need a mark on a person for an assault, right? I mean, I realize, you know, there's a whole torture literature on how you inflict pain without leaving marks, right? I don't think you mean to endorse that, the no-mark defense to an assault.
Just a non-consensual touching is an assault, technically.
Well,
if
I recall the trial testimony, and maybe the jurors didn't believe the agents, because Agent Witterdick, the companion to Agent Thomas, testified that Mr. Starks hit Agent Thomas so hard as to constitute no question of whether or not it's unprivileged touching. I had a speed bag in my hand, and I had him demonstrate how hard the alleged blow was, and it knocked the speed bag all the way across the courtroom. So there's a possibility that the jurors did not believe the agents about the assault at all, since there was a lot of inconsistent testimony about the manner and form of the blow.
But the special verdict form kind of cleared all that up, didn't it?
Well, Your Honor, it's our contention, had it been pled in three separate counts, there's a very telling exchange that takes place. And that is that they already had the answers to every one of the questions they asked the appellant. They already knew the answers. They had enough information to get him fired. And it was an administrative proceeding. That was the only result that could have come from that proceeding. Had they pled it, as suggested by Arthur Anderson and Aguilar, there was evidence on the record to support a not guilty verdict on obstructing by attempting to destroy the affidavit. And the way it was pled, I suggested to the court, duplicitous, confused the jury, and led to the compromise verdict on count two.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Kavanaugh.
Before you sit down, is your argument that the, and I guess I didn't really see that here, that the evidence is insufficient to support the verdict on the affidavit matter, even if that had been a separate count?
I can't suggest that, Your Honor. I can suggest the issues would have been more clear to the jury had it been a separate count, because there was evidence to support the fact that the destruction of the affidavit, the attempted destruction of the affidavit, may or may not have influenced the investigation. But the way count two was pled, I suggest, created confusion in the minds of the juror, and as I was concerned to the trial court, resulted in a compromise verdict. Had it been pled clearly, this is exactly how the act of attempting to destroy the affidavit obstructed the investigation, I believe it could have been clearer to the jury that maybe this act of itself was not, in fact, proved beyond a reasonable doubt. But because of the way it was pled and the way even the
But see, if he's written something that he, as your answer to Judge Posner, I was curious too, because the briefs didn't tell us what the facts of this case really were, but in responding to some of Judge Posner's questions, you said that he decided that what he had written was too much self-incrimination or something. That's why he reacted the way he did, and it would seem to me that's almost an admission that this statement had some significance here.
That would be true if he had written the entire affidavit, but he did not. When he stopped writing, and the case agent took over, and she completed the affidavit in her words, in her writing, and not his. So when he made that declaration, I suggest to the court that he was referring to the incriminating writing of the agent and not anything that he put on paper.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kavanaugh. Mr. Leggins?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tom Leggins, and I have just a couple of quick points to make. First, with regard to the multiplicity argument, the test that this court applies in almost all cases, and the exception really doesn't apply to this one, is the Blockberger test. And to avoid multiplicity type argument, all that has to be shown is that the two charges in question have different elements. Here, that is the case. The elements for forcible assault on a federal officer are different than the elements of obstructing or impeding an investigation. And so that gets us past, I believe, the multiplicity argument. And even over and above that, the defendant was acquitted on count one. So he really has no complaint at all regarding whether or not count one is multiplicitous or not. With regard to the count two duplicity argument, I think under this court's analysis in the Berardi case, this charge was not duplicitous, but as Your Honor points out, even if it was, the court was very careful in its instructions in this case. I set those the way the court instructed the jury out in my brief, and I included the verdict forms in my appendix. And I dispute counsel's assertion that the jury was somehow confused in this case, given the precise instructions that were given, given the special verdict forms. It is certainly our position that this jury was entirely consistent in the verdict it reached, and we ask this court to affirm it. And if there are no questions, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lackens.
Mr. Kavanaugh, your time expired, I think. You can have a minute or so.
I think you can distinguish Berardi because it was the same person, it was the same act, it was the same mens rea over a period of time. It was a course of conduct type case. That would distinguish Berardi from the instant manner. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Kavanaugh. You were appointed, were you not?
Yes, sir.
We thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. Thank you, Mr. Lackens, also. And the court will be...